everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks, Tom engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Tom, you're looking well this afternoon. It must be the fact that they've backed off on that 100-degree forecast down to 97. Well, it never really was 100, but 99 this time of year?
Oh. Yeah, it's a little early.
Yeah, be one of the earliest 100s ever recorded here in Tucson if we were to hit it this weekend. It is Friday, April 21st, 2017. Hope the week has gone well for you. The program re-airs our Friday edition on Saturday afternoon on KVOI at 4 in the afternoon. It is the Buckmaster Show, and we thank our media partners on Friday for supporting us. They prominently display a link to our website, buckmastershow.com. One of the supporters is with me in studio, Dylan Smith, editor-publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, thank you for your ongoing support.
You betcha.
Inside Tucson Business supports us, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans. Our Friday Focus interview today, United States Representative Raul Grijalva, a Democrat who has been serving Arizona's 3rd Congressional District since 2003. Congressman, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good to see you. Thanks for coming by. This is very close. I think we're at the 100-day mark of the Trump administration. I'm not sure exactly.
Is it next week?
It
might be in the next. It's sometime in the next couple days.
Very
we're
soon.
Down to the wire. If you're counting down to 100 days.
Yeah. If you were a teacher and you were giving a grade, what grade would you give the new Trump administration?
At this point, it's a failure to start. So I would say it would be not denying effort to do some things, but certainly if you quantify that effort and you look at results, it would not be a passing grade.
It would be a failing grade.
Yep.
Yeah. Dylan?
It's kind of hard to get a passing grade if you're not even doing your homework. I learned this lesson full well in my academic pursuits so many years ago. But, if you look at the things that Trump laid out, he hasn't, really even, as the congressman was saying, tried to follow through on any of those. So, taking a nonpartisan viewpoint, Raul's here speaking as a Democrat and is probably going to be a little bit critical, but just taking a step back in general, what's going on there? But what I want to know today is not what you think about Trump, but what you think about what you're doing in Congress. Are you going to run again?
Yeah, I am. And I think that, this next midterms, there have been, every midterm, every election is always called the most significant, the most important, the critical one. This indeed has historical consequence to it. It has huge political consequence to it. And I think it's a defining election in that, with the Trump presidency, with the control of the House and the Senate, and both by Republicans, you have this perfect storm about what can happen in terms of legislation, budget, etc. And so I think people have come to realize that this defines us as a democracy. It will define what our values are in terms of what government does and doesn't do. And it will it'll set a tone for the remaining 2 years. And certainly going into a presidential later on. So for me, this next election is a pivotal one, and I want to be part of it, see what happens.
So you're in for 2018?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. A government shutdown possible next week or no?
Simply because I just said this control of the House, Senate, and administration in Republican hands, I think the Republicans have to do everything they can to avoid it. Because they are in power, they will own that shutdown. Mm-hmm. And I think, we have an opportunity for a clean, continuing resolution to get us through 2017, because I think the real battle about the budget is going to be waged over the 2018 budget. And no poison pills in it, hopefully. I think we're kind of at that point. The skinny budget that Bush is insisting on is the initial money for the wall, for the hiring of additional Border Patrol and ICE, and for increases to defense. And I believe that those have all been points of contention from the beginning. I think the leadership, this is a huge test for Ryan. It's the same test that Boehner had to go through. And he passed a budget that was basically clean, but it required all the Democrats to pass it and not the Republicans. And if he gets himself whipsawed like that between the Trump administration and his more ardent Freedom Caucus members, it's a huge test for Ryan to get it out of the House and move it on to the Senate.
So you think those political divisions within the Republican Party and between members of Congress and the White House will basically end up with a budget just like last year's, without the administration being able to, or the Freedom Caucus being able to push anything through?
Yeah, that's my, honestly, that's my hope. You know, it's a static budget. You know, that battle had been fought already. And so, you know, we sort of continue the last 7 months left of this year with that budget. And then I think the preparation is going to be for that 2018 budget, because that's where, at least in the outline of Trump's analysis, recommendations, that's where the real fight over cuts are going to occur.
790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation, Congressman Grijalva would be happy to entertain your question or comment. Now, about this suit, you joined with the Tucson-based Center for Biological Diversity to file a lawsuit against the federal courts to ensure that environmental laws are followed when it comes to the border and the border wall, proposed border wall. What was your thinking about this suit?
Well, to hold the Department of Homeland Security, to hold them to the same law that all other federal agencies are required to follow when it comes to major construction, a major effect on public lands, environment, habitat, wildlife, communities, water, etc. Well, the array of environmental issues, and I would suggest that the proposed 2,000-mile wall is a major construction, and the staging areas, the roadways, communication towers are required to deal with security personnel along that border, are also major major constructions that triggers that law. So we're asking a federal judge that Homeland Security follow the law like every other agency has to, and in doing so, have a independent, empirical, environmental assessment and study that takes into account all these other factors, and then presents the consequences to the public and to Congress, because we might be asked to spend as much as $24 billion, if not more. Some projections that came out were up to $70 billion for a wall in which that rabbit hole is not paid for. We don't know where the money's coming from. And more importantly, what are the consequences? What are the long-term consequences? And NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act, provides that options be developed if there's harmful effects. It provides for public input and comment. And I think, more importantly, it gives the members of Congress that would have to vote for this appropriation because, you know, as everybody said, Trump can propose, but he can't appropriate. He can't give the money. Congress can only do that, and the House can only do that. And doing so, if they're voting for some rabbit hole that is going to cost billions and billions to the taxpayer with no real security consequence at the end of the day, but very, very harmful effects on everything else, then they should do it with open eyes and with the clear information before them. It's an act that's been around, it's been required, and we're asking the court to mandate that Homeland Security do the same thing.
All right, we're going to take our break right here at 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Congressman Grijalva will stick around for another segment, 790-2040. We will be right back after this break. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery, info and tickets at biosphere2.org.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen. Plus, Bill Doley will be here. Bill is the president and CEO of the Tucson-based Southwest Archaeology. Buckmaster, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the Friday edition. Congressman Raul Grijalva is with us in studio, as is Dylan Smith, editor-publisher of Tucson's online news service known as TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, you are up to the plate.
Well, we were just talking a little bit during the break about what's going on across town. Are you ready to put your support behind any of the folks who are thinking about running against Martha McSally?
No, no, I'm not. And I think that people have to, I want a Democrat to win. I'd like that to, close the margin in the House. It would be good. But I think it's a race that it will have national attention, certainly from the Republican Party in terms of holding that seat. And so I think it's about the candidate, but it's also about the organization and the capacity to be able to run a race against McSally, period. And I think it's way too early for myself to be attempting to anoint anybody for that seat. I think time will tell who is serious and who's not, and who has the capacity to be able to campaign against McSally. McSally is good. Whether people want to accept that as a premise or not, going to be formidable.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to have resources, and she's going to have the support of the National Party plus super PACs across this country. So,
and it's gearing a much more closely split district than
and
yours.
It's a very closely split district, and so how do you motivate a base that wants a change, and what's going to be the strategy? And what's the type of personality that can rally the emotion and the energy to do that? I think that's key. And so rather than jump in with both feet, I'm going to stay out with both feet.
Okay. Let's go to the live line. Chuck would like to join our conversation. Chuck, you're with the congressman. Go ahead.
Yes, Congressman. Mr. Buckmaster asked you what kind of grade you'd give Trump for his first 100 days. And, of course, you said F. I want to ask you, what kind of grade would you give President Obama for his 8 years in office?
I would give President Obama a B+, comfortably. I thought the last 2.5 years of his tenure were probably the most productive, in the sense that he understood that there was a lot of time and energy and thought and policy and negotiations that went in to trying to craft bipartisan legislation, to trying to work with the Republican majority. And that was of never any serious consequence. Nothing came of it. And whether it was the budget or whether there were other initiatives that he wanted to do. But I think at the end of the day, as he left office, his actions and the way his comportment, and more importantly, some of the things he did administratively to try to keep the ship of state going straight, I thought were very important. And that was, that's despite 8 years, the Senate leader now, McConnell, said at the time that we're going to do everything we can to make sure that he's not successful. So he had to endure that, and he did. And so for that and for the persistence, and I think if you just make when you're in school, you also get a B, you don't get a grade, but you get kind of a grade for comportment and behavior. And so if one were to do that, it was a class
act. Plays well with others.
Plays well with others. If you were to do that, you would see that him and the First Lady and his family were a class act that never embarrassed us. And I think that's worth a little bit of a grade as well.
Are you worried about a showdown with North Korea? How's all this going to work out?
Yeah, I am, because you have the instability of leadership in North Korea, and then you have almost a reactive sense from our administration. North Korea is a threat. Nobody can deny that. Is a dictator. And nobody's going to argue that this is a person that we're putting upon. But at the same day, we have this interlocked responsibility in terms of South Korea. We have this tenuous relationship with China. And all
and
those
a commitment to Taiwan.
And
so
a commitment to Taiwan.
Gets very
and,
entangled.
And so it's an entanglement. Mm-hmm. For them to develop the nuclear weapons capable of reaching the continental United States, I think the best way is to continue to do what has been tried for years and what China showed some willingness to do by canceling the oil shipments into North Korea is a diplomatic strategy. You know, everything is not going to be military muscle that we're going to solve these things in. The globalization not only of economies, but the globalization of international relations are such that if there are not partners in the effort to further isolate and to further weaken the regime that's in North Korea, they have to be diplomatic, have to be concerted, and they have to be with allies. And going it alone, for whatever reason, I think is a bad reason.
Dylan.
On that, Trump is sort of greatly dialed down his rhetoric about China manipulating their currency and all of that. A little bit closer to home, it's not quite the same situation, but the exchange rate between the Mexican peso and the U.S. dollar has lately really affected Southern Arizona's economy.
Mm-hmm.
And what, you know...
Visitorship.
What can the U.S. do about
A looming border tax.
The border adjustments tax.
Well, not just that, but the fact that the peso, the exchange rate right now is not helping trade.
The peso is having a tremendous impact. You go to communities like Nogales, Douglas, San Luis, Yuma, those that depend on visitation and commerce from Mexico, and a 7% drop in sales tax revenue is a huge hit.
Yeah.
And you're seeing this huge hit all across the borderlands. And I think part of the reason is the climate atmosphere we've created around the relationships between the two nations, the wall, the border adjustment tax. I'm going to redo NAFTA. And one way that we're feeling it is the drop in their economy and the investment. People don't want to make the investment into the Mexican economy. And they're also seeing it in the visitorship that come to buy here, where their protest might be with their feet. They're not doing it. And so I think that, again, begs the question about, you know, this tough attitude has consequences. And they're economic as much as they are anything else. You know, you look at the current the currency manipulation by China, that's off the table. NAFTA, to some extent, is off the table. Import-export bank that Trump swore was he was going to get rid of because it was just a giveaway to big corporations, that's off the table. And there's a host of things.
Border adjustment tax still on the table?
I don't think so. I think that the senators like Cronin in Texas and even the senators here in Arizona, Republicans are saying this is not good for my state. It's not good for the economy, and it's an ignorant tax because they can put 20%, 30% on it. The people exporting here are not going to pay for it. It's the consumer at the cash register that's going to pay for that 20%. I think that, you know, that's what I meant. This kind of reactive things. Policies that hit and miss, and then you have to backtrack. And now, you know, NATO's okay, but it wasn't okay 2 months ago. And so I think those mixed messages on an international level, which is probably the most delicate of responsibilities that a president has and an administration has, is something that has been fumbled around too much. And the consequences to our country are economic. You think China's going to stop making steel? No. You think Canada's going to stop making pipes and exporting them to the United States? No. And so the question becomes, if we're going to deal with jobs and issues here in this country, let's do that infrastructure package that you want to do, Trump, but let's do it right. And it's got to be done right with an investment by the federal government in creating jobs and fixing our infrastructure. to say the private sector will do this infrastructure build is foolish. If there's no money to be made and return on your investment, why would you?
All right, let's see if we can work one more call in. Roberta would like to speak with us. Hey, Roberta.
Hi, Bill. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Congressman Grijalva, do you think that the Russian warships off the coast of Alaska are getting ready to retaliate if we attack Korea?
Okay, interesting question. Good question.
It's good question, and I don't have a good answer. I don't believe so. I think that we're still haven't unraveled this whole Russian connection between this Trump administration and Russia and Putin at all. And I think there's so many other dynamics going on. And, you know, sometimes it's very hard for me to distinguish what is posturing between Russia and the United States and what is posturing between Putin and Trump. I think once everything is declarative, everything is investigated. We see links. We can prove and disprove any collusion, any directed influence into our election, last election. Then I think a lot of the things begin to clear up. But I think a reaction by Russia toward North Korea, I don't think they have that kind of a vested interest in that issue. The key player on a foreign scale of a superpower is China, and that's where the attention of the United States needs to be.
All right, I'm out of time, but I do want to mention a local story that library funding, it's very important. So many people depend on the Pima County Library, yeah. The public library, and the Trump administration has talked about, are they thinking
218
of cutting?
Budget. Yeah, there's three things that I just, I think people are going to find offensive. I find offensive. It's kind of a arrogance of ignorance. It's Corporation for Public Broadcasting, Commission Humanities, Commission on the Arts, and the support for public libraries across this country, adding to less than 1% of the federal budget. But those have been in the 2018 budget scheduled for total elimination. What do these three have in common? They're independent. It's about free thought and expression, and I think that is such a statement about who we are as a people. Those are expressions of our American ethic, and the free and public library is part of one of the last vestiges of a democracy that everybody gets to share in. And I think they're going to have trouble with all of those because American people, regardless of their political affiliation or philosophy, see these as kind of bastions where their thought, whether it agrees with mine or not, is there for them to read, access, or express. And I think all of those are going to be a real problem for the Trump administration or the Republican leadership to try to cut.
Growing up here in town, did you use the library?
Yeah, one of the books that I don't know if it's for good or bad, but transferred my life was Gulliver's Travels. I thought that I could, anytime I went in there, I could escape somewhere else. And my wife accuses me, who's a retired librarian, that I've been escaping ever since, you know?
Congressman Grijalva, thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you. All right, coming up on 12:33 on the Buckmaster Show, Dylan Smith sticks around. We're also going to check in with Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News, who's been down at the border today. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine, Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this lovely Friday afternoon. A little bit warm for my taste this time of year. Dylan Smith with me, editor, publisher of the TucsonSentinel.com. And Dan Shear has been down at the border all day. He is on the live line with us. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Sorry I couldn't be there with you in the studio.
Well, I don't know if you were able to hear the interview, but Dylan asked pointedly to Congressman Grijalva, is he going to seek another term? And he said, yeah, he wants to see what's going to happen with the midterms.
Right, and I also heard Congressman Grijalva blame much of the problems in the city of Nogales on Donald Trump, and that simply is not accurate. We have done a couple of stories out of the Nogales International, which is owned by the same company that owns the Green Valley News, and there have been a lot of rumors that have hurt certain businesses north of the border. One in particular are those who drive the shuttles, you know, between Phoenix and Nogales. A lot of the rumors were that if you came over, that your credentials would be confiscated, and then they would deport you to Mexico, and you'd never be able to come back to the United States. It simply wasn't true, but the rumors are, or the perception is, something that has to be dealt with. So in that case, the Trump presidency has affected what's going on the border. But if you look at Nogales itself, Bill, the sales tax revenue there has been flat for almost 10 years. The growth, meaning the population in the city, has been stagnant, almost zero, since at least 2000. There's a lot not going on down there, despite the fact that just over the border, there is a thriving community in Nogales, Sonora, of, could be, depending on whose numbers you believe, up to 450,000 people. So my question to Congressman Grijalva is, why is this border city in your district slowly dying? You can't blame it on Donald Trump, not all of it.
But I think the congressman did point out that business is, Dylan, didn't he say something like along the border this year, retail seems to be down about 7%, something like that?
Yeah, and that may well be, you know, true in the short term. In the long term, I think Dan has a point that the city of Nogales, Arizona, has been, not as successful as it could be. And we keep hearing from just about everybody, Republicans and Democrats and business boosters alike, that Arizona is going to be, you know, this amazing funnel of free trade. You know, we basically heard that for a generation now. And yeah, there is a ton of trade that, you know, is carried out, and especially that goes through the various ports in Nogales. But that doesn't really seem to ever end up helping that town at all.
Yeah, and you know, it's a beautiful little place down there, and the sales tax revenue in the city of Nogales is down 5% this fiscal year, so that's starting last July 1st. So it is down, but part of that can be attributed to the fact that on January 1st there was a big shift in Arizona. The Arizona Department of Revenue began collecting sales tax for a lot of municipalities. There are delays as a result of that. It's gonna affect the numbers without getting too deep into all of that. And so that could be part of it. But Dylan is right. The long term, you look at the city of Nogales, which again is in this terrific spot geographically. Why is nothing happening there? Why has it been stuck at about 20,000 residents for forever? Why is that? So I think that's a big question. And Congressman Grijalva has this sweeping district that, you know, goes all the way up to claims part of Phoenix. It's a lot for anybody to handle. But Nogales is largely being ignored, quite honestly.
What is the sentiment like in your area of Green Valley, Sahuarita, about a border wall and an assessment tax, which the congressman said he believes is pretty much off the table at this point?
I think at this point the thought on the wall is how you interpret that word wall. I don't know that anybody thinks we need a Great Wall of China through the Southwest. I haven't met anybody who really believes that this is what should be done. A lot of people, and Representative Martha McSally has said this in the past, believe that there are certain parts of it that need to be fortified, perhaps new wall in some place, maybe not in others. And I think that's largely the sentiment here. When people talk about wall, I think they're really talking about border security. Maybe a wall isn't the best way to do it, but something needs to be done in certain parts. Now, there are other people who are just simply opposed to it because stronger wall would mean that it's pushing immigrants out into more dangerous areas, crossing over. And the fact is, they do come over. Whether or not they should is not the question. The fact is, they do come over. So there are a lot of questions here that actually deal with life and death. So no one thinks we need a big wall.
Hey, I was promised a big, beautiful wall.
A big, beautiful wall.
Yeah, well, we can start taking the taxes out of your paycheck because it's got to come from somewhere, and it ain't coming from Mexico.
So we can afford maybe one cement block a year. All right.
All right. So we know Congressman Grijalva will be seeking reelection in CD3, but CD2, concerning the Democrats mounting a challenge to the incumbent Martha McSally, well, who's in, who's out? Looks like Bruce Wheeler is in, Dylan?
Yeah, you've got a whole lot of people, you know, some who are putting their names out there a little bit more publicly. Wheeler, there are a few Democrats who don't really have a whole lot of name recognition who have said that they are want to run for that seat. Jeff Lattice, who ran in the primary that eventually sent Gabby Giffords to Congress, has said that he wants he's taking a look at it as an exploratory committee. Been talk about Ann Kirkpatrick maybe coming down here.
Who's the young man from Hotel Congress who announced this week?
Billy Kovacs is one of the younger Democrats who don't really have a whole lot of name recognition. That, mm-hmm. Who will have to work very, very hard if they want to get some traction up against more experienced politicians. And then, you know, some other people whose names are getting floated around, the usual suspects, and we will, you know, we'll see if anything ever happens with that.
Former Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick, there had been some rumors that maybe she would move into the district. Dan Scheer, how would that play?
Well, you know, Ann Kirkpatrick has family in Tucson, and I can see her coming on down here. I don't know how that would play. I think the biggest factor in the election, and I can hardly believe we're talking about it already, but we need to be, but the biggest factor is going to be Donald Trump. And a lot of people don't make their decisions until the last minute on this type of thing. It's an extraordinarily competitive district. The best advice for Martha McSally is to just, you know, keep doing your job and letting people know what you're doing and keep putting it out there. But definitely there's going to be a lot of competition for it. But a lot of her fate may hinge on the president's performance over the next year and a half.
All right, what about up at the legislature, Dylan and Dan? It looks like Steve Farley will probably be very happy about this because he's been pushing forever to have a text ban while driving. Actually, only Montana and Arizona are the two states remaining. But this is a very limited ban.
You couldn't get much more limited than this one.
What is it, just young drivers with their permits or something? Yeah, basically.
Yeah. And, you know, for some reason, the Arizona legislature has been very opposed to passing a ban on texting while driving. And this is something that Farley and others have tried to get through for years now. And every time it stalls out, doesn't get heard by committee, et cetera, et cetera. And meanwhile, you've got towns and cities across the state enacting their own various versions of it that are all slightly different. So you've got people who don't really quite know what the rules are as they're, you know, driving between Tucson and Oro Valley. And, it might be, at least for the sake of the ease of enforcement, good to have one that was the same everywhere.
And I think a lot of the policing on this bill is going to come from, at least in our community, is going to come from the young people, the members of one of our teen advisory committees, which works with the town here, has made a video about texting while driving, because you can have a law, but if nobody's following it, it's not going to do any good. But the video shows very graphically what happens or what the potential is of doing that. So it could be one of those deals where the kids just kind of take over the action on making sure that people aren't doing that, because of course it makes sense that we have a ban on that, but people have to actually follow the law.
And speaking of the legislature, it is getting kind of late for a budget to be presented. We had Dennis Hoffman, Dr. Hoffman, professor at ASU, who's been advising the Arizona State Legislature on budget matters since 1982. He had some very interesting things to say on our show yesterday about how sales revenues are looking, especially in the retail area, and they're not looking good. And this is, the malls. Have you been to a mall lately? There's not a lot of traffic going through there, and I think the budget picture that's going to be presented is going to be a little darker, Dan Scheer, than had been previously thought.
Yeah, and now you turn to our key our key issues here in the state, you know, education, how's that going to be affected, everything from that to DPS to our roads to whatever. So it's really the fact that we're climbing out of this economic slump. The reality in Arizona is that we always knew that we were going to kind of lag behind the nation in this because so much of it had been dependent on new home construction and all that type of stuff. I think that this, to a point, is whether other states are going through, but maybe not quite as tough as it is here in Arizona. So it's really interesting that we've kind of just let out this, a long breath because we've been through this awful downturn, but it really isn't over yet, and I think your interview yesterday showed that.
Yeah, just the fact that people are buying so much more online right now, and sales tax is not getting charged on that. You know, people aren't going to, whether it's to the mall, and I honestly can't remember the last time I went to a mall, or to a, you know, brick and mortar mom and pop locally owned place, which is where I try to go.
Well, I gave
fewer people are doing that, and so we have, you know, much less money in sales taxes going to the state for the legislature to lay out, and that really sort of that fundamental shift in the economy is a huge challenge, because that's not going to come back. As the economy improves, people are not going to start going to Sears and Radio Shack again, because, well, Sears and Radio Shack just aren't going to be there.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how the malls will be, as they say, repurposed in the future. Dan Scheer, thanks for joining us, Dan, and drive safely back to Green Valley from the border. Thank you. Have a great weekend, Dan. And Dylan Smith, thank you very much. We'll look for your work at TucsonSentinel.com. TucsonSentinel.com now in its eighth year.
Indeed.
8 years of
providing
a really good service to the people of Southern Arizona. And really, anybody can log on anywhere in the world. So there's service to anybody that's interested about Tucson. But thank you, Dylan. All right.
Thank
we'll be right back. Weekend Watch is next. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Celebrate Earth Day at UA Biosphere 2 Saturday, April 22nd with a special all-day event featuring a sunset concert by Calexico. Taste Tucson's future food, enjoy hands-on activities designed to engage and educate, and hear insights on global issues from leading scientists. Experience our renowned tours and find out why Time Life Books named Biosphere 2 a must-see wonder of the world. An exciting day of dialogue and discovery. Info and tickets at biosphere2.org.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Weekend Watch now with Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage a columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist Matt Russell, brought to us by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Road trip time, just a 3-hour drive over to Silver City. They've got the big Blues Festival, 22nd annual, coming up over the Memorial Day weekend. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. You'll find out information about the many recreation opportunities, like healing. Well, you could do that too, like hiking in the Gila National Forest, and also the full listing of great places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. All right, let's welcome now Matt Russell. Matt, I'm always ready for dessert. How about you?
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't know about you, Bill, but when I was growing up, I was told that I always had to finish my dinner before I could get my dessert, right?
Of course.
Today we get to break the rules because it's eat dessert first day. You can't make this stuff up, Bill. Yet several local eateries are encouraging guests to stop in today and tonight for dessert first, with a portion of proceeds going to help support childhood cancer research at the U of A. Now, some of the participants include Prep and Pastry, Renee's Organic Oven, Tavolino, even Charo Steak Downtown, so many more. So forget everything your mother ever told you and enjoy dessert first.
I'll have that chocolate lava cake, and then you can bring me the salad and get things going. Any grand openings this weekend?
Yeah, Bill, I got to ask, are you ready to get funky?
Oh, always.
I mean, you want to get your groove on, Bill?
Get down, Matt, get down.
Just snap on your shades and step into the new psychedelic restaurant, bar, and nightclub that hosts its grand opening today on Congress Street downtown. It's called the Funky Monk.
Oh, my goodness. What's happening at the Monk?
They specialize in funky pizzas and pastas, sandwiches, and more, along with a downright groovy menu of fun and imaginative cocktails. Now, even Mayor Rothschild is going to get his groove on by doing a ribbon cutting today, this afternoon. The doors will swing open to the public at 6 at the Funky Monk. I don't know when the last time you shook your groove thing, Bill, but I'll be doing it tonight.
Oh, man, we'll be expecting the theme from Shaft to be coming up. Any chili cook-offs coming up?
Yeah, some of the best chili champions in the West, frankly, are going to be going head-to-head this weekend at the 6th Annual Southeast Arizona Wine Growers Festival at Keith Joshua Vineyards down in Elgin. This is the real deal, Bill, and whoever wins is going to earn a spot to compete at the national contest later this year. Now, of course, in between bites of chili, you'll enjoy samples from nearly 20 of Arizona's top wineries, along with live music, even a hot salsa contest. It's only $25 for either Saturday or Sunday, or $40 if you want to do both days. Chili, wine, and salsa, three of the basic food groups on my personal pyramid down in Elgin this weekend.
Sounds like a hot weekend, as always, here on Weekend Watch. Thank you, Matt Russell.
Cheers, Bill.
All righty. Coming up Sunday on Liberty Watch, thousands of people are victims of the bureaucratic state, including an Amish
Amish farmer facing 40 years for the unlicensed selling of chickweed salve. Former Graham County Sheriff Richard Mack will join Charles Heller about getting those folks pardoned and some of these more controversial regulations rescinded. That's Liberty Watch Sunday, right after Swap Shop at 10 on KVOI. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the program's content. I always like to do some shout-outs and thank yous on Friday, including to Christophon, fine young German composer who has the original theme music for the Buckmaster Show. He also has his first CD out. You can find a link at buckmastershow.com. Also want to thank, of course, my longtime assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Tom Fairbanks always does such a great job engineering and producing the Buckmaster Show on Friday. Ray Allen, our operations manager, is my engineer producer Monday through Thursday. Thank you, Ray, for all of your fine service. Doug and Mary Martin, the owners of KVOI, thank you. And, of course, Jerry Cross, our production manager, Ed Alexander, all of the team up front doing a great job, the front office staff. Thank you very much to everybody. Have a great weekend.